always something to make you look around and say, hey, you know what? I live in a pretty great country.
President Trump is calm, on point, on his game. And unlike the last guy, he is competent and coherent.
Come on, man.
We're not bending the knee anymore. We're here to take a stand for God and country.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
It sure is, and live from Washington, D.C., with a special bit of coverage here for the whole week, kicking off another brand new day here, the Steve Gruber Show, from the biggest foxhole of freedom, which, of course, is the nation's capital, which always makes me ask, who do you want in your foxhole? We got a lot of work to do today, so let's get to it here. Three big things you need to know this hour. Number one, well, it seems despite all the claims that our economy is on fire, we just set all-time records for Black Friday sales. Yeah, maybe things are a lot better than they want you to believe. Number two, the left continues to undermine the lawful chain of command for the U.S. military while pretending their words didn't result in the attack on the National Guard troops in Washington, D.C. that left one dead, another barely alive. And number three, today we start not in celebration but in solemn outrage. Two of our finest heroes in uniform, young patriots who swore an oath to protect this great nation, were gunned down in cold blood right here in the nation's capital where I am today. As you know, last Wednesday, near the White House, what can only be described as a cowardly ambush, Rahmanullah Lakhanwal, a 29-year-old Afghan national, opened fire on two West Virginia National Guardsmen. Specialist Sarah Beckstrom, just 20, was a vibrant soul who volunteered for duty to keep our streets safe, and she has died from those injuries. Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf, 24, a decorated Air National Guardsman who joined in 2019 and earned medals for his service, remains in critical condition fighting for his life. These weren't soldiers in a far-off war zone. They were on American soil doing what Americans do best, serving selflessly. Eyewitnesses reported Lakhanwal shouting Allahu Akbar as he unleashed his fury with a .357 Smith & Wesson revolver, targeting these brave souls who had just been sworn in less than 24 hours earlier for Operation DC Safe and Beautiful, a mission to restore order to a city plagued by chaos and violence for decades. He drove thousands of miles from the state of Washington, where he'd been living with his wife and five sons, to carry out this act of pure hatred. His family says they hadn't heard from him in months. He was isolated, desperate, unable to pay rent, and hell-bent on hating America. But desperation alone doesn't explain this. This was targeted evil as an assault on the very guardians of our republic, and as we mourn Sarah and pray for Andrew, we must ask, how did this monster get here? How did our government fail these heroes so catastrophically? But to understand how we got here, we have to start with the climate that was deliberately created around our troops and the circumstances that allowed the attacker into our country in the first place. Let's start with the climate. Folks, the airwaves and social media have been poisoned for months, for years, by a legion of so-called leaders who treat our military like pawns in their partisan games. Most recently by the seditious six. Those six Democratic lawmakers who had the audacity to release a viral video just days before this tragedy urging active duty military personnel to refuse illegal orders from President Trump. Except, of course, Trump hasn't issued any illegal orders. It was a naked attempt to undermine the chain of command. Senators Alyssa Slotkin and Mark Kelly, along with Representatives Jason Crow, Maggie Goodlander, Chris DeLuzio, and Chrissy Houlihan, these aren't backbenchers. They're retired military and intel community veterans turned politicians. They know better. In that smug, scripted clip, they planted seeds of doubt, division, and downright disloyalty in the ranks. These traitors, they weren't defending the Constitution. They were subverting it, whispering to our troops that their commander-in-chief is the enemy in plain violation of 18 U.S. Code 2387, as I laid out last week. Representative Byron Donalds from Florida, who's running for governor there, laid it out best, slamming the seditious six for their outrageous political stunt. Here he is.
What is Alyssa Slotkin saying?
She's not saying anything. That is pure stupidity because she got caught. That's what happened here, Maria. I don't remember her saying anything when Barack Obama was droning Americans overseas. There were American citizens who got caught up in drone strikes when Obama was droning over in the Middle East. He called himself the droner in chief. I don't remember her saying anything about this. This is why this is so dumb. They're trying to demonstrate that they are a bunch of tough guys, that they're standing up to President Trump. And every time they do one of these stunts, it makes them look even stupider. That's why the government was shut down for 40 days. Not over spending, not over some key policy item on Capitol Hill. It was a political stunt for Chuck Schumer to prove that he was a tough guy to stand up to Donald Trump. While the American people are rightly concerned about affordability.
And let's not forget the hypocrisy. These same Democrats cheered when 8,700 service members were discharged, thrown out of the military under Joe Biden because they refused the COVID vaccine mandate, an order they deemed lawful, but most did not. But now, when President Trump deploys the Guard to stop violent crime in the nation's capital, suddenly every order is suspect. It's a dangerous double standard, folks. Slotkin, in particular, went on ABC just last Sunday insinuating that National Guardsmen might start shooting randomly American civilians. Amid rising tensions, she painted our troops as a threat, as if they're the Gestapo, not the good guys keeping the peace. Listen.
Look at these videos coming out of places like Chicago. It makes me incredibly nervous that we're about to see people in law enforcement, people in uniform military, get nervous, get stressed, shoot at American civilians. It is a very, very stressful situation for these law enforcement and for the communities on the ground. So it was basically a warning to say, like, if you're asked to do something, particularly against American citizens.
Yeah. Mainstream media airing opinions like this left and right. A CNN guest, retired Major General Randy Manner, didn't hold back either. Just a few weeks ago, he compared Trump's use of the National Guard to fight urban crime to how Adolf Hitler weaponized the Gestapo in Germany in the 1930s. Listen to this.
Actually, what the president is doing through the Secretary of Defense is creating units, official military units, to, quite frankly, guard, or not guard, watch the American people. And that's the thing that is absolutely abhorrent. It reminds me so much of what happened in Germany in the 1930s.
Nazis, really. These people are unhinged, demonizing the very men and women who stand between us and violent anarchy. The rhetoric isn't harmless, it lit a fuse. It erodes trust, emboldens enemies, and now tragically it may have contributed to the blood in our streets. The seditious six and their media enablers created a toxic environment where heroes like Sarah and Andrew became the targets. And while these lawmakers were busy undermining the very people who protect us, well, the reality on the ground is a very telling story. You see, since President Trump deployed the National Guard to Washington, D.C., August the 11th, 2025, as part of Operation D.C. Safe and Beautiful, our capital has been transformed. For too long, D.C. has been a war zone, homicides soaring, robberies rampant, assaults turning neighborhoods into no-go zones. Under Democratic leadership, violent crime exploded, 274 murders in 2023, 188 in 2024, carjackings up 75% in some years, families living in fear. But enter the National Guard and things change. We're going to hold that thought right there. I'm going to dig into the numbers after the break here. As we continue, special live coverage all this week. I'll be in Washington, D.C., today at the Pentagon, Tuesday and Wednesday at the White House. We're going to be in the heart of it, folks, right here on the Steve Gruber Show. I'll be right back. Okay, stop. All right, back to it now. Let's talk about the National Guard coming in. Professional, disciplined, and committed. And the miracle unfolded on the streets of D.C. I'm here a lot. Like I said, 272 murders in 23, 288 in 24. But since August the 11th, 24, it's not that way. According to the Metropolitan Police Department and data reported by WTOP, from August the 11th to November the 27th, 2025, Thanksgiving. 108 days, there were 24 murders in the nation's capital. 24. That's a staggering 29% year-over-year decline in homicides for 2025. Now let's extrapolate that pace. 24 in 108 days equals about 81 in a year, the lowest since 2012's 88 homicides. A 57% drop from 2024. We're talking about the lowest murder rates in 40 years, folks, since 1986. This isn't coincidence, it's causation. The Guard's presence has plunged all violent crime. Year to date, through the 26th of November, total violent crime is down 28%. From 2024's 3,179 to 2,296. Homicides down 40 to 50%. Sexual assault down 35%. Assault with dangerous weapons down 10%. Robberies down 30%. And carjackings down an eye-popping 75%. Firearm-related violence in all down 35%. Let's break down the violent crime even further, right? Because it's dramatically lower. Everything's down. Carjackings, like I said, down 75%. That's an eye-popping number. Firearm-related violence down 33%, a third. This is the lowest violent crime number in decades. Below the 2019 pre-pandemic baselines. Some neighborhoods are still hotspots, sure. But overall, indisputable progress. Democrats keep lying about crime spikes, but there aren't any. No sustained upticks. No violent surges, just stabilization, drops building on 2025's early trends. These guardsmen weren't occupiers, they were saviors, they were angels in camouflage. Just listen to this D.C. resident, somebody who lives here in this city. Despite the media's relentless smears, here's what's actually being said. Listen to this.
I mean, guys, I live in D.C. These guardsmen and guardswomen, they are kind. They do nothing wrong. They stand there and they keep the peace. They say hi to me on my way to work. They smile when you thank them for keeping you safe. They are not the evil, racist soldiers the media make them out to be, obviously. But it is, in part, the media's violent rhetoric, that reckless name-calling that motivated a foreign national to harm our military. I mean, the Guard is only still there because they're effective and people like them there. Crime is at a 30-year low. It feels safer. It's quiet. It's calm. Simply because of their resounding presence. It's incredible. I am heartbroken for their families, and for it to all occur the day before we're supposed to be spending time with our loved ones is so tragic and infuriating. This was an attack on our military. It was an attack on our nation. And do not let anybody tell you that this was deserved or justified in any way. And I think we should remember that the enemy here is a foreign national who hates this country, period. It should not be left or right. It should be good versus evil. This is life versus death.
That's right, they patrolled with the MPD, deterred chaos, gave families back their peace. Sarah and Andrew, they were the faces of that success, sworn in fresh, ready to serve, yet they were vilified and paid the price of failures far beyond their control. Those failures traced straight back to one of the greatest blunders in American history, Joe Biden's botched Afghanistan withdrawal, August 2021. You remember the images, horrible images. The Taliban swarming Kabul airport, people clinging to C-17 transport planes, 13 Marines slaughtered in a suicide bombing that we could have prevented but did not. Joe Biden's ill-advised and reckless retreat against military advice, against common sense, didn't just abandon allies. It flooded our homeland with unvetted threats. Over 76,000 Afghans airlifted under Operation Allies Welcome, plus tens of thousands more all rushed through a so-called rigorous process. It was anything but. No in-person interviews for almost any of them. No deep dives into backgrounds. Just check the boxes and move them along. Alejandro Mayorkas, then DHS Secretary, used his trademark linguistic gymnastics to imply that all those Afghans were vetted before coming to the U.S. during his congressional testimony in 2021. Here is a reminder.
Okay, here's a question. Very simple. Those that got on the plane.
For America, it is our policy to.
Please listen. Please listen to my question.
I apologize.
To those who got on the C-17s and other planes, how many were vetted before they got on the plane? by American officials?
To the United States, it is our policy to vet and screen 100% of them.
So 100% of those people that got on the plane were vetted. That's your testimony under oath?
It is our policy to do so.
That's not, I don't care what your policy is. I'm asking how many people were vetted before they got on the plane. Do you know the answer?
Senator,
if you don't know, just say I don't know.
Senator, I do not know if anyone boarded a plane that was not fully screened and vetted.
But when he was reminded again by Senator Lindsey Graham that he was under oath, well, he changed his tune. Listen to this.
Now, you do know you're under oath. Are you telling this committee under oath that 99% of the people got on these planes in Afghanistan were vetted by our government before they got on that plane?
I want to be very clear because precision...
Because you're not.
No. Senator, if I may, you are asking me about planes from transit countries, the third countries...
I'm talking about people who got on the plane at Kabul Airport.
No, I can't speak to that.
Yeah, he can't speak to much of anything. When we come back here in a moment, you're going to hear from Senator Josh Hawley. Hold right there. You're going to hear from Senator Josh Hawley coming up in just a few minutes here as we continue this conversation. Look, the fact of the matter is this. The National Guard on the streets of Washington, D.C. has been an unmitigated success. Violent crime, carjackings, murder, all in multi-year, if not decades, lows. It's been a success, and yet those on the left, Slotkin, Kelly, and the others vilify the National Guard doing their job to keep the nation's capital safe. We'll have more continuing here. Live special coverage from Washington, D.C. on The Steve Gruber Show will continue in a moment. We're going to continue this conversation for the nation's capital. It is so important that you hear all of these things. Senator Josh Hawley continued to push on Mayorkas to get specifics during testimony. And he got Mayorkas to admit this. Listen.
The standard procedure is an in-person interview for refugees or visa applicants. Now, you've testified that you're not doing those interviews.
Not at all.
That they're not happening.
You are correct that we are not conducting in-person full refugee interviews of 100% of the individuals.
What percentage are you conducting?
I don't have that information.
What number have been interviewed?
What we are doing...
Wait. What number of the more than 60,000 brought to the country, what number have received an in-person interview before they came to the country? Because you said 100% are screened. So what percentage have been given an actual interview by a trained official before they come to the country?
When you're speaking of a full refugee-like interview, I don't have that data.
And you know what happens when you don't have that data? When you're not diligent about screening the people who come into your country? We get the tragic events of last week and all the others since 2021. Hawley laid it out back then, too. Here he is.
By the way, are you following what's happening to people who've been brought to this country? On September 19th, a female U.S. service member was assaulted by a group of male Afghan evacuees housed at Fort Bliss. September 5th, a report from your office, the DHS, from U.S. officials at intake centers in Wisconsin identified numerous incidents in which Afghan girls have been presented to authorities as the underage wives of much older men. Other reports of assaults and rapes by Afghan men for Afghan girls. These are some of the folks who have been brought here because they haven't been screened, because you haven't conducted interviews. Don't you think that's a problem?
There are two things that can happen. They can be criminally prosecuted depending on the reason for their violation.
Mr. Secretary, my time's expired. I've got to turn it over to other senators. I just want to say the fact that you are not conducting the most standard interviews for tens of thousands of people brought to this country is astounding to me.
Yeah. Troops on the ground were shocked. Orders from the top to fill planes, vetting be damned. We're going to continue to rip back the curtain and expose all the truth in just a moment right here in a special edition of the Steve Gruber Show live from Washington, D.C.
Paul Azinger, welcoming you back.
That's right. Troops on the ground were shocked. Orders from the top to fill planes. Vetting? Pfft, not really. And Senator Josh Hawley exposed emails proving it. The email sent by Consul General Gregory Floyd directed evacuation coordinators to err on the side of excess, not caution, excess, when it came to bringing Afghans to our country. The email even said that, quote, total outflow to the U.S. must exceed the number of seats available on evacuation flights. Wow. Biden's team overrode FBI concerns, and the State Department pushed approvals without data. Then FBI Director Christopher Wray confirmed joint terrorism task forces were probing evacuees from day one. This wasn't an evacuation. It was importation of risk. And this feeds directly into a deeper, longstanding conservative warning. One too many leaders ignored for decades. We shouted from the rooftops. Mass migration without strict vetting isn't compassion, it's catastrophe. It erodes communities, strains resources, and invites a clear and present danger. Conservatives have warned that open borders and lax oversight flood our streets with drugs, gangs, and worse, people who don't share our values, who game the system at our expense. Look at the numbers. Some estimate as many as 20 million unknowns under Biden, unvetted, unchecked, overwhelming hospitals, schools, housing, and yes, law enforcement. Even loathsome Chuck Schumer himself admitted it. All the way back in 1996, the number one reason illegals come, according to Senator Schumer in the 90s, to steal jobs and defraud programs like Social Security. Listen to what he said.
All the, over where we go, people say, well, why can't you stop illegal immigrants or others from coming here? And the number one answer we give our constituents is when they come here, they can get jobs, get benefits against the law because of fraud. And here, the gentleman from Florida has put together the most effective anti-fraud measure we can find. I urge support of this amendment. If you believe you want to stop fraud in immigration, you have no choice but to support this amendment.
Gentleman's time has expired.
He pushed anti-fraud measures then. Now his party calls us bigots for saying the exact same thing. J.D. Vance eviscerated this nonsense on CBS back in 2021, destroying Margaret Brennan's claim that all Biden's Afghan refugees were vetted. Looks like Brennan owes J.D. Vance an apology on this one. Listen.
In fact, we know that there are cases of people who allegedly were properly vetted and then were literally planning terrorist attacks on our country. That happened during the campaign, if you may remember. So clearly not all of these foreign nationals have been properly vetted.
No, but there are 30,000 people in the pipeline. Afghan refugees.
But my primary concern as the vice president, Margaret, is to look this after the American people. And now that we know that we have vetting problems with a lot of these refugee programs, we absolutely cannot unleash thousands of unvetted people into our country.
These people
it's
are
not
vetted.
Good.
These people are vetted.
Just like the guy who planned a terrorist attack in Oklahoma a few months ago, he was allegedly properly vetted. And many people in the media and the Democratic Party said that he was properly vetted. Clearly he wasn't. I don't want my children to share a neighborhood with people who are not properly vetted. And because I don't want it for my kids, I'm not going to force any other American citizens' kids to do that either.
No, and that was a very particular case. It wasn't clear if he was radicalized when he got here or while he was living here.
I don't really care, Margaret. I don't want that person in my country. And I think most Americans agree with me.
I think he's right. This isn't xenophobia. It's survival. Uncontrolled influxes breed crime spikes, cultural clashes, economic drain. Neighborhoods crumble, wages stagnate, trust evaporates. We've seen it in sanctuary cities and border towns, good Americans paying the price for the delusions of the elite. And when we dig deeper, this Afghan national was no normal immigrant. Rahmanullah Lakhawal wasn't some wide-eyed refugee fleeing Taliban terror. No, sir. At 29, he was a battle-hardened veteran of Afghanistan's elite commando corps, fighting alongside U.S. Special Forces in Kandahar for over a decade. Over a decade he was there. CIA Director John Ratcliffe confirmed it. Lakhanwal was embedded in the CIA-backed Kandahar Strike Force, NDS-3, a covert paramilitary unit, one of the war's most lethal and secretive outfits. We're talking night raids on Taliban hideouts, counter-terror ops against al-Qaeda, targeted strikes bypassing Afghan chains of command, intelligence-driven hits that kept our boys alive, at least back then. This guy was trained by us to kill, all right, and armed by us. And in the words of Ratcliffe, should never have been allowed into this country at all. He slipped into the U.S. by way of a special immigrant visa in September of 21, amid the evacuation frenzy, then snagged asylum in April 25. Yes, during the Trump administration, which I think proves the point even further. You cannot undo the consequences of bad policies of mass migration in one measly year. Mass migration always involves junk background checks. The results speak for themselves. Lakhanwal lived quietly in Washington State. Wife, five kids, no criminal record until he snapped, driving cross-country into the nation's capital to kill American service members. I've got a lot of questions, a lot of questions. If he was CIA-linked, known to Intel, why no monitoring? Why listen to this very closely? Google Trends shows a spike in searches for his name. Think about this. In the hours before the attack. Coincidence? Now, that's pretty weird. A spike in searches for his name before the attack. Who knows? Congress must subpoena those IPs. Something smells rotten. And the big one. Where are the other Kandahar Strike Force members? Hundreds came in by way of that rushed SIV pipeline. Highly trained killers, not refugees. Who approved them? Who vetted them? Who's tracking them right now? These weren't farmers. These were intel-tied operatives. Trump nailed it in his public address after last week's tragedy. This attack underscores the threat Biden brought with mass unvetted migration. Here it is.
This attack underscores the single greatest national security threat facing our nation. The last administration let in 20 million unknown and unvetted foreigners from all over the world, from places that you don't want to even know about. No country can tolerate such a risk to our very survival. An example is Minnesota, where hundreds of thousands of Somalians are ripping off our country and ripping apart that once great state. Billions of dollars are lost, and gangs of Somalians come from a country that doesn't even have a government, no laws, no water, no military, no nothing. As their representatives in our country preach to us about our Constitution and how our country is no good.
The bottom line, this was not Donald Trump's fault, despite the media's attempts to say otherwise. This was the failure of the Biden administration year after year. And this is what it has delivered to us. Mass migration without borders or brains threatens every community. Lakhanwal was just an example of all that. There's no question. We'll continue to dig into this as the weeks go by, folks, but this is not the last time we're going to see this kind of violence, I'm sorry to say. This part of the program brought to you by Longevity Wellness. It's more than a product. It's a promise to deliver clean, renal-friendly, inflammation-conscious nutrition that supports your whole family. Their nutritional shake mix is packed with what your body needs, protein, collagen, omega-3s, and colostrum, all working together to keep you moving, thinking, and feeling your best. This is nutrition you can trust from their family to yours. And on this Cyber Monday, you can take 35% off. Go to longevitywellness.co. And take the first step toward living stronger, longer. Use the promo code Gruber35. Gruber35, 35% off right now, longevitywellness.co. In my IP, I could... All right, welcome back to the program. Glad to have you on board here, live from the nation's capital. Let's talk about your health today because it's Cyber Monday. Dr. Peter McCullough is joining me. He's the Chief Scientific Officer at the Wellness Company here. And, Doctor, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Well, glad to have you here. Not hearing you particularly well, but let's talk about some of the medical kits that are available out there from the wellness company today to make sure that people can get through this cold and flu season, to make sure they're protecting themselves, not taking, you know, vaccines they don't need, but doing the right things to stay safe. What do you say?
Well, you know, people out there should really take advantage of Cyber Monday. The discounts are the deepest discounts the company is going to offer all year. I'd start with immune defense, the nasal spray and throat spray. It should be done twice a day during cold and flu season. I just did it before my trip into the office today. This is the first line of defense. Markedly reduces the risk of common cold, flu, RSV, influenza, COVID-19. And then the kits are incredibly valuable. The black kit is the contagion kit. That includes the medications for acute influenza and acute COVID-19, including a form of a nebulizer, so you can actually have the inhaled products as well. And then the light blue, aqua blue home emergency kit covers a broad range from common colds, flu, bronchitis, urinary tract infections, fungal infections, skin infections, etc. But, you know, these are wonderful gifts for family members. And it's now's the time to each family to take stock of what they have in terms of their medical resources at home. Trips to the urgent care and emergency room are expensive, time consuming, and are completely avoidable with the Wellness Company home emergency kits.
You know, we've been hearing, I think we hear this every year, Doctor. Flu season's going to be terrible this year. It's going to be rough this year. It's like you could put that on a replay. Now we hear that there's a mutation of the flu, one which is more virulent, one which the flu shot is not effective against. And again, when is the flu shot actually effective? I mean, don't they just kind of spin the wheel, throw a dart at a board and hope for the best? Isn't that kind of how it works? I mean, not really science, more like going to the casino.
Well, you know, our CDC gives us a retrospective report. So after the flu season is done, we get a report of, well, how did the vaccine do last year? And the answer each year is progressively worse, way less than 50% theoretical protection. Remember, the influenza vaccine doesn't stop you from getting influenza, doesn't stop transmission, doesn't protect others. And the data suggest it's minimally effective, if at all, in reducing severe disease. And so, you know, at this point in time, half of the nation takes a flu shot, and that's what the statistics show, but they're getting very little protection from it. People should be on board with nasal sprays, throat sprays, gargles, and home emergency kits. And, you know, if they have to escalate care, they can. There's four FDA-approved antivirals for influenza. The vaccine is not compelling. And now the recent reports of the H3N2 variant that you alluded to, that suggests up front the influenza vaccine is going to be very ineffective this year. It's going to be essentially a waste of time.
So I heard Robert F. Kennedy Jr. say recently, and you tell me what you think of this. He said basically the flu shot often misses its target, as we just talked about. But it opens the door for people to get sick with other things because it kind of makes a change in the immune system. I guess that's the way I take it as a layperson. As a medical professional, is he on the right track?
He is. There's been a randomized trial in children where the influenza vaccine makes it more likely for them to get a common cold. So if you're a parent and you see your child getting common colds all the time, it could be the influenza vaccine that did it. In addition, a Cleveland Clinic study from Shretha and colleagues showed that those who took the flu shot among the 51,000 workers there, they're more likely to get the flu.
All right, so let me ask you this. If you end up with the flu or COVID or RSV or any of these things, are there prescription drugs you recommend having on hand to avoid an emergency room or urgent care?
One of the most valuable drugs to have on hand is ivermectin. It's in multiple of the Wellness Company kits. We just had someone in my circles develop something over Thanksgiving, immediately started ivermectin, knocked it out in a matter of days. Hydroxychloroquine has activity against influenza. And, of course, Tamiflu works against influenza as well. Secondary antibiotics like azithromycin or doxycycline, along with inhalers and other products, help people get through these illnesses.
Yeah. And what about the bird flu? It's back in the headlines again today. And I saw headlines, the bird flu, if it mutates, could be the most deadly thing since COVID, so on and so forth. It just feels like scare tactics to me. What do you make of it real quick?
We've yet to see human-to-human transmission. The bird flu is characteristically mild. It results in a conjunctivitis or eye inflammation. All the cases, human cases in the United States, were treated with Tamiflu, and they did fine. We should stop killing birds and just let the natural immunity take its course.
All right, I have good news today for the folks. If you want any of these great remedies from the Wellness Company, look, these are the gold standard products. It's Cyber Monday. We were told that the economy was terrible, but apparently we set all-time records for Black Friday. Maybe we can do the same thing for Cyber Monday. 25% off supplements and everything, including ivermectin, 20% off memberships, 20% off those gold standard emergency medical kits you can put on your shelf. If you're going to give some advice today, sir, I think it might be stock up just in case you might need it.
For sure. And remember, members even get a deeper discount. You know, join as a member and then get 30% off. Now's the time to stock up.
There you go. Dr. Peter McCullough, always appreciate you being here, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Again, Cyber Monday savings. Go to twc.health/Gruber. All sorts of savings on this Cyber Monday. 25% off supplements and products like ivermectin. 20% off memberships and so much more. Free whipped tallow cream for the first 1,000 orders right now on Cyber Monday. How much more can I do here today? twc.health/Gruber. Big savings for Cyber Monday at the Wellness Company. Welcome back. Special coverage from Washington, D.C. here this week. I'll be here. I'll be at the Pentagon today, the White House Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. I don't know. It's busy around here. We'll see where we end up by then. Here's a headline you do need to know about, though. Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro, has been given an ultimatum by the Trump administration from reporting all over D.C. today to leave Venezuela immediately before announcing the country's airspace. The president, Donald Trump, saying the airspace should be closed. From the Miami Herald, we get Washington's warning was delivered in a phone call with Caracas and offered guaranteed evacuation for Maduro, his wife Celia, and their son, but only if the dictator agrees to resign now. The conversation that is stalled, U.S. officials said, and within hours, Washington escalated dramatically. The ensuing impasse, a source told the outlet in Miami, was over Maduro asking for global amnesty. He wants global amnesty for any crimes he and his group have committed. That was rejected. Yeah, you don't get a blank check. We don't know what crimes you've committed. Second, they asked to retain control of the armed forces. Similar to what happened in Nicaragua back in 1991. And in return, they would allow free elections. The final issue is timing, according to the outlet, as Washington demanded that Maduro resign immediately, but Caracas refused. Trump went on to announce Saturday that Venezuelan airspace would be considered closed in its entirety. The Herald also reported that Maduro tried to schedule another call with Washington, but nobody in Washington picked up. You've been offered, you're out. You've been offered your chance to leave with your wife and your children. But here's the concern. I think the operations will start imminently. What I'm getting at here, folks, is we could be on the verge of some sort of military action, potentially some sort of war with Venezuela. It's on the horizon today. We'll dig into this, of course, as we're in Washington all week. But war could be imminent. That's the term coming out, imminent. We'll see how that plays out coming up. The clearing of the airspace is an indication of a very clear public warning that missiles might be coming to take out command and control infrastructure or retaliatory infrastructure. We'll keep an eye on all of this. We're live in Washington all week. You can always find out more at stevegruber.com. Send me an email. You want me to ask a question of the president that's specific? Let me know. stevegruber.com. I'll take a break and be back with more. When a child.
always something to make you look around and say, hey, you know what? I live in a pretty great country.
President Trump is calm, on point, on his game. And unlike the last guy, he is competent and coherent.
Come on, man.
We're not bending the knee anymore. We're here to take a stand for God and country.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
All week, it's going to be a big week fighting for you from the foxhole of freedom. And here are three big things you need to know this hour. Number one, record-setting numbers for Black Friday defy the doom and gloom of the Democrats and their media laptops. Now it's Cyber Monday. Will the trend continue? What happened to the boycott anyway? Wasn't there supposed to be a boycott anyhow? Number two, the new go-to talking point for Democrats is that MAGA is dead. But President Trump has the highest approval numbers of any among his own party, any president in the last 25 years. And number three, the seditious six don't care how reckless and dangerous their words are when they call for the military to ignore orders and ignore the chain of command. In fact, they're saying it more. And they figure we aren't paying attention. And sadly, millions really are not. So here's where we start today. Senator Mark Kelly continues to dig the hole deeper on his call for the military to ignore orders and the chain of command. It's unbelievable. Former military man, Navy man, NASA pilot says this.
You can certainly go to the judge, advocate generals, the lawyers, and have a discussion about it. If you don't have time, you just say simply, I'm not going to do that. That's against the law.
It puts a lot of burden on the troops to make a decision in real time.
It puts a tremendous amount of burden on officers in the military, but that is their responsibility, and they can figure out. You know, a reasonable person can tell something that is legal and something that is illegal.
So would you refuse these specific orders to strike drug boats if you were still in uniform?
Well, the difference between the initial strike and what is being reported, you know, as a second strike, and those things are different. I think this administration has tied themselves in knots, the explanations that we have received on how this is all legal. And I was saying weeks ago, my concern is with the service members, that we're going to put these individuals in a really, really tough decision, in a tough place. And you know, they may find out, you know, down the road that they did something that is illegal. It is not fair to them. That's why we need presidents and Secretary of Defense who understand the Constitution, who understand the rule of law, and have more respect for the Constitution and the country and service members than the whims of a president.
Inexcusable. Embarrassing. Mark Kelly continues to completely undermine this administration. He continues to undermine the chain of command. He is raising doubt about whether orders are legal or not legal. And then, of course, you get an attack like you had on the streets of Washington, D.C. It's inexcusable what he's doing. His behavior is reprehensible. He, Alyssa Slotkin, the other four, the seditious six, should be held accountable for this. You can't go around and say, oh, you can't follow illegal orders. Everybody knows that. What he's suggesting, what they're creating, is this illusion that somehow Donald Trump is giving illegal orders. That's the problem here. And then, predictably enough, Senator Kelly threw in the race card, of course. Of course. Here it is.
When I heard the secretary say that they're going to pause immigration from third world countries, I mean, I take that as a message that they don't want brown people coming to the United States. And I find that disturbing. We are a country that has always welcomed individuals that are struggling, that are fleeing famine and violence. And it would be a fundamental change to the fabric of our nation to change that.
Yeah. Always about race, isn't it? Well, how about Tim Burchett? The Tennessee congressman, outspoken, always with his duck jacket, love that, by the way, says violence in the streets is heading us toward an actual revolution if we don't get our act together with people like the seditious six. Here's Burchett.
and Congress never gets it. It's just too drug out. The Republicans have a 3 or 4 person lead, and it's just, and we're one flu season away from really losing the Republic, because the left, which is the Democrat Party, is not your granddad's Democrats anymore. These people are Marxists. They're openly against our country. They hate our military. They hate our border patrol. They hate everything about it. And this is just, you can't, they won't even apologize. They won't even say they're sorry that this young lady lost her life in service to our great country. Mm. And yet, they're out touting this, and they're out promoting it. They're out promoting, they want, you know, people to be, to disobey orders from their commander in chief. I mean, it's kind of a, it's they've crossed over that line, and there's no going back. And where's the outrage? You know, you don't even see the outrage that from any of the major news sources outside of yourself of this situation. It is ridiculous. This poor lady was murdered by somebody who had no shape, form, or fashion should have been in our great country.
Agreed with that. No shape, form, or fashion should have been in this country. That's for sure. And then there's the new talking point. The Democrats are pushing out there all the time. As they undermine the chain of command, as they undermine anything and everything that Donald Trump does, the new talking point is that, well, MAGA is dead. MAGA's dead? Apparently not. Listen.
So can we just go to the data, CNN's own data, from our own data analyst, Harriet? And President Trump has an 87% approval rating among Republicans, which is higher than Barack Obama's approval rating among Democrats at this point in his term, higher than where George W. Bush was in his term. He is the strongest, for his own party, strongest president at this point in his second term in the modern era. That's number one. Number two, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think, had a falling out with the president over politics. He showed her a poll that said she couldn't win statewide in Georgia.
That's exactly
she got
what it
mad.
Was.
She got mad. And by the way, she stands with a group of isolationists who just happen to disagree with the president over, say, taking away Iran's nuclear weapons and some other issues. That's fine. He's the president. She's not. And if you want to talk about whether the president has a hold on his party or whether he's a lame duck, I'll just submit that when he withdrew his endorsement of Green, she lasted a week and then had to resign from Congress. That's not weakness.
Yeah. The highest approval rating from his own party of any president in 25 years. MAGA clearly not dead. MAGA still standing with Donald Trump in numbers we've never seen before. There's your answer. Remarkable, isn't it? All right, so here's the lay of the land for today. I'll be going to the Pentagon, spending some time there, doing some live reporting. I'll have that for you tomorrow. On my way to the White House tomorrow, Wednesday. Send me an email. Go to stevegruber.com. Send me an email. If there's a question you want answered, maybe I can find the answer along the way. Stevegruber.com. Send me an email, and then we'll try to figure out if we can get that question answered. Maybe by the president. Maybe by the Secretary of War. I'm here to work for you today and all week. I'll be right back. All right, welcome back to it as we continue the conversation. Will Tebow is the director of the American Military Project at the Center for the American Way of Life, and a visiting fellow at the Center for Renewing America. Well, good to have you back.
Yeah, good morning, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. All right, so the DEI generals and all this DEI nonsense is being scaled back. Are they finally facing consequences, according to a column that you wrote? Tell me about this.
Well, it's no secret that Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, obviously undergirded and supported by President Trump, has sought to restore lethality as the primary focus for the United States military. And that's not simply, you know, an issue of a culture war or a hot button political take. It is fundamental to military readiness. Even, you know, establishment folks and liberals have conceded that the military went too far to embrace political ideologies over the course of certainly the last 20 years, even the last 60 years. You know, you had Pentagon-sanctioned pride events. You had race quotas at the military academies and throughout the officer ranks as well. And Secretary Hegseth, I think, is pursuing an earnest effort to ensure that the people, meaning the uniformed generals and admirals who he asks to undermine those toxic policies, are not the same people who vociferously and explicitly supported those policies throughout the rest of their careers. I think it's allowing us to be honest brokers that if you are a supporter of race quotas for the Air Force Officer Corps, like C.Q. Brown was, you shouldn't then be asked to end race quotas for the officer corps throughout the military. And, you know, Pete Hegseth has rightfully taken the step to hold military officers accountable, not just political appointees. And so it has been a breath of fresh air. I think even he would say there's work left to do, but a lot has taken place, you know, of which conservatives can be really proud because it means our military is focused on war fighting again.
You know, I can't help but ask, Will, about all of this that's been going on with, you know, with Senator Mark Kelly, Senator Alyssa Slotkin, you know, you get the military back in order, as you say, but then you have these people. There's no other way to describe this to me. They're trying to subvert the chain of command. They're trying to subvert and plant the seeds of doubt into the soldiers. Oh, this will be like Nuremberg. This will be like Germany. If you follow illegal orders, that's no defense. What the hell are they doing?
Yeah, Steve, it is shocking, frankly, especially when you unpack what's happening. You know, Mark Kelly is clearly the man that the Obama-led Democrat Party wants to be as the Trojan horse for the Democrats in 2028. And so he's doing this to pander to the most left-wing parts of the Democrat Party, while, just as you say, sowing a seditious conspiracy throughout the ranks of the military. He even, you know, referred yesterday, I think, on Meet the Press that, you know, military officers may, I think, quote, find themselves that they have broken a law. And that is a threat. That's a threat to the current military chain of command, that they are going to be held accountable for hypothetical actions of which the likes, the slanderous likes of Mark Kelly and Alyssa Slotkin have no awareness. They are simply trying to concoct a narrative that this administration is doing something illegal in order to undermine support for from the ranks of the military. Frankly, if you were trying to start a coup against the Trump administration, this is what the first steps would look like.
So Guard soldiers,
down amongst military leadership,
unarmed, by the way,
chaos
gunned down. I don't know why they'd be unarmed. That does make me wonder. But gunned down in the streets of the nation's capital, the young woman dies, the other man fighting for his life. We talked about it at length in the first hour. This kind of behavior by senators and members of Congress to undermine, they don't care what the cost is. They will do whatever it takes to try to damage Donald Trump. But in doing so, they're hurting America, are they not?
They are, Steve. I mean, you saw Senator Kelly himself, Senator Merkley from Oregon, say that you know, the National Guard was the shock troops of a Trump autocracy. You know, they will push the rhetoric and the suggestions of action all the way to the breaking point of you know, just the limit of suggesting violence without explicitly telling their vigilante shock troops to commit violence. And then when they do it, they try and play dumb, but they can't.
Yeah, and worse, they say, well, if Donald Trump had never put the National Guard into D.C., they wouldn't have gotten killed. Truth of the matter is this. If the trend holds, Washington, D.C. will have the lowest number of homicides in a 12-month period in more than 40 years. 40 years. Same for carjackings, all this other violence. But by that ridiculous logic, oh, you know, nobody would have gotten hurt. Well, then we should just disband the military. Nobody ever gets shot in a military uniform if we didn't have the military. I mean, that's the logic, right? I mean, come on.
Well, no, you're right, Steve. And of course, they would never have questioned the logic of the 10,000 Americans who died in Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, those lives are somehow well spent. Whereas the life of a heroic National Guard soldier and you know, hopefully not one more, are not well spent preserving the sanctity and the safety of the nation's capital. This is this perverse logic of the global war on terror. We've you know, convince the American people and soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines that their lives are somehow better spent overseas in endless wars than they are preserving the security of our own cities, the integrity of our border, and the preservation of American interests in the Western Hemisphere. It is a time to reorient the calculus for the national security complex, to think less of European security or Middle East security, and to think more
about
the security of our borders.
You got that right. Will Tebow, I got to leave it there from Town Hall. Always great work, Will. Always good talking to you. I appreciate your insights.
Thanks, Steve. Good to see you.
All right. We'll take a break and be right back. It is the Steve Gruber Show. Yeah, that worked out fine. Colin finally figured it out. Now I have echo.
That's my bad
goal. All right, well, Mamdani appointing a radical police abolitionist professor who wrote a book on ending policing is now tasked with shaping community safety. Isn't that brilliant? Alex Vitale. Authored The End of Policing as this call to abolish various law enforcement agencies on social media. Yeah, let's get rid of police in New York City. Brilliant. A sociology professor at Brooklyn College appointed to New York Mayor-elect Zohran Mamdani's transition team wrote a book about ending policing. I'm excited to announce that I've been asked to join the Mamdani transition team to work on safety issues. The End of Policing, published 2017. The book, which opens by explaining that police don't exist to help citizens, argues for an end to traditional policing for certain criminal activity, including narcotics. Yeah, narcotics, yeah. It's remarkable, isn't it? Unbelievable. And, yeah, this is who Mamdani's bringing in. People who don't believe in police. Thinks that the children up to like the age of 25 should be excused for their behavior. I'm sorry, what? This is what's happening in New York. This is what's coming. I can assure you this is what's coming, and there's no way around it. So, coming up after the break, I've got to transition to the Pentagon. All right, so I got to jump in an Uber, and I've got to transition to the Pentagon and get over there. And in the meantime, Ivy's going to step in onto the main stage, pretty exciting. And then her and I are going to chat about all things going on in D.C., what it's like here and what's happening, and talk about the fact that we set all new records for Black Friday. The Democrats, oh, the economy's terrible. It's all in the toilet. No, apparently it's not. Apparently it's in pretty good shape, and we'll see if Cyber Monday does just as well. So a little bit of a transition here. Sit tight. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Special guest host, Ivy. Straight ahead.
Well, welcome back to the Steve Gruber Show. He is on his way to the Pentagon, probably trying to get into an Uber. Do we have a Steve there now?
Go ahead, Steve.
I am here. You're a little low for me, but you're there. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. So talk to me about this Pentagon visit. What is the purpose of today? I think you're going to be interviewing the Secretary of War and others.
Well, we're going to see a whole lot of folks today. It's the new media thing. And new media, we got press passes here. As you know, I got a permanent House press pass, hard pass, earlier this year. So I'm picking up the Pentagon press pass today, which is pretty exciting, really, with everything that's going on. And everything that's going on with Venezuela. Obviously, this is interesting. So I've never been to the Pentagon. It's going to be an interesting adventure for me. A new place to I don't know, to have access. And you know, Ivy, what we love about this job is the people we get to talk to. It's a very interesting world, dangerous world, important things to talk about. And it really is a unique opportunity. I mean, I don't know how many other folks from our neck of the woods are going to be there today, but I am.
Well, let's be honest, Steve. I think, you know, even from anywhere in the world, to be able to say that we've been in the Oval Office, that you have a hard pass to the White House, that you have access to, you know, the most influential leaders of the world, it is a pretty incredible thing to be able to say. And I feel pretty blessed for that opportunity that we have. You know, you talk about crime, and I was just actually listening to Senator Klobuchar. She was asked on CNN about, you know, is there a problem in Minneapolis, in Minnesota, sorry, is there a problem in Minnesota for gangs, roaming around the streets? And I know that you talked a little bit about this morning, but, you know, these Somali gangs that are all around, it does seem to be a big problem, doesn't it?
It sure does. Look, and when you've got the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, who they now know that billions of dollars were fleeced fraudulently from programs in Minnesota. And he's kind of, well, you know, we're arresting people. And he says, well, you can't blame the Somalis. Well, it is the Somali community that has been several members arrested, several different people brought to court, many cases pending, property seized, grocery stores, nothing seized, as they continue to root out this, like I said, billions of dollars of fraud. I mean, you can't just overlook it. Again, we're talking about all these people that came in from Afghanistan that led to this shooting here on the streets of D.C. Well, you can't just downplay the idea that this is somehow not a big deal. It's a very big deal. When you bring in people that are unvetted and you bring in people that are, you know, unchecked, you don't know what their motives are. And the motives in the Washington, D.C. area, obviously violence. Then you look at the motives of people coming in here trying to take advantage of every government program they can get their hands on. I mean, come on, people, do your jobs. We have to be a lot more focused on what's happening, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, you can expect that when you import the third world, that it's going to all of a sudden be, you know, that they're going to assimilate the folks from these regions, that they're going to assimilate into America and American culture and not behave as in the way that they would behave at home. And I think that is a hard, tough discussion that we all have to have and saying, hey, this is, you know, I actually remember I was living in Florida at the time. I had a big yard sale, and there was quite a few Somali folks that had come in and literally wrapped up a bunch of stuff in it was like a bag that they brought. And I was like, excuse me, are you going to pay for those items? And the woman actually threw it back at me and then walked off. And I'm like, what? Hello, this is like, you know, common decency here, first of all. But it was just very, very bizarre. And that was one, you know, example that I had there. And who knows? But yeah. Again, you know, you can't bring in the third world and think that we're going to have different outcomes. But I think that you probably agree with me on that.
You still have me.
I can still hear you, Steve. Can you hear me?
Yeah. The AirPods went out for just a second here. And
don't you love technology?
Over, so.
Steve loves technology,
the
by the
I
way.
I can hardly hear you. The AirPods are not working right.
Well, can you?
I'm trying to turn them off and go to speakerphone, and it keeps picking them up anyway. So I'm going to switch over, and we're going to make this work properly.
I swear, you know. So Steve is in D.C. Anytime he leaves me for any period of time, the electronics seem to have a mind of their own. They just go haywire. And it is very stressful for all of us involved But it's like, what is it that you just create gremlins when you leave in all of your devices? Oh, my gosh.
That's what I do.
Too much. Did you see this story? It was, let's see here. U.S. It was a congressman. He was on an airplane, and he was looking at dirty photos on the plane. People actually captured video of him.
That guy.
Yeah, and I don't know. What the heck is his name, for goodness sakes?
He's 71 years old. I can see him. He's been in Congress for a long, long time, and he was sitting there on his iPad. First of all, what member of Congress has an iPad that doesn't have, a security screen on it? Honestly.
Well,
right? So all the pastors around him
were
taking
don't.
Pictures of him.
Brad Sherman?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that who that is?
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
That's so funny because
not
you know,
an attractive man.
I'm looking at the story here written about him, and I'm like into page 4, and it still does not mention his name. How weird, huh?
do you think if he was a member of a different party, they'd have his name mentioned?
Probably, you know, plastered all over the first 5 pages. But you know, we always talk about the left is the folks that are just the best people ever. So. But anyhow, yeah, so I'm excited to hear your experience there at the Pentagon, and going to be interesting to see. I know that, so they kicked everyone out in terms of, hey, if you're a reporter.
Well, they didn't kick them out. They didn't kick anybody out. What they offered was a different set of rules.
Okay.
And then I'll be honest, I don't like the rules. The rules basically are almost you have to ask permission to cover a story. I think that's wrong. I don't think I should have to go ask the people at the Pentagon what story I'm allowed to cover, but it created a few extra seats in the room.
I have some mixed feelings about it. I think when it comes to our national security, it is important to have some limitations on your access to information. But at the same time, if there's wrongdoing going on, then, yeah, we should be able to investigate it. But we are going to go to a break here. We will be back shortly with the Steve Gruber Show. Welcome back to the Steve Gruber Show. Ivy Gruber here, and I'm just waiting for Steve to get to the Pentagon as he's going to be interviewing some very influential people there, including the Secretary of War. Can't wait to hear about his experience with that. But Steve, are you still with me?
I am. Me and the Uber driver decided neither one of them been to the Pentagon before. We're not quite sure where to find the entrance, but if they pull their guns, I said, stop the car.
We're probably at the entrance.
He agreed.
So you also actually are getting a press pass to Langley, correct?
That's correct. So I'll have FBI headquarters. Well, I've had the hard pass for the White House for a long time now, and then Pentagon, and then Capitol Hill, and Langley, which, you know, it's interesting, you know, you spend your life watching action movies, whatever they might be, right? Yeah. Or The Blacklist comes to mind, you know, where you've seen these places. Of course, you and I have been in the Oval Office and done, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's always fascinating to go there because it's the most famous room in the world. But the FBI headquarters or the Pentagon, just, you know, they're also top 10 locations of places to be and say, hey, I've got access here because the Secret Service has inspected you and I up and down so many times. I've lost count, obviously. And so it's about the access. I don't know if we talked to Hegseth today. Of course, he's in some hot water, well, according to his critics, because there's a claim that we turned around and hit one of those drug boats not once but twice, which would be a violation of international law, the way I read it. So we'll see where that goes.
So what is that?
I don't know
the
specifics, and of course,
what is the difference between hitting it once and hitting it twice? I mean, if it didn't
when you hit it the second time, it's an immobilized. Well, I'll explain it to you. If you hit the vehicle, there were two survivors on one of the boats, allegedly, and I don't know the details are coming out. And obviously, in this town, I trust basically nobody. but allegedly, there were two survivors on the boat, and you turn around and hit it again. Well, they're basically out of the fight. You can't go hit people that are out of the fight.
I see.
You can't just shoot prisoners of war. You can't, certain things that you just can't do. Now, again, I don't know what the details are. One side gins it up, and this goes both ways, of course. One side gins it up. The other side says it's no big deal. Mm. And the truth is usually nowhere to be found. And so we'll just try to figure that out and see what's happening. Meanwhile, as you probably heard, Donald Trump had conversations, one long conversation with Maduro, offered him a chance to leave with his wife and kid. And it sounded like they were close to having that happen. And then Maduro said, well, I want global immunity. And Trump says, I can't give you that. Right. And so the call ended. And then Maduro called back sometime later. The White House says, yeah, we're not taking the call.
Oh, wow.
So that's where we are on that.
Interesting.
We'll see what happens.
I want to play actually a soundbite for you. You know, going back to this, Senator Mark Kelly and Senator Lisa Slotkin on their video that they put out probably, what, 2 weeks ago now, talking about do not, you know, listen to illegal orders. And we all know that what they were right. actually meaning there is to cause some unrest, to cause, you know, some dissension among the ranks. And I want you to hear, he's on NBC with Kristen Walker, and she asked him this question. Anthony, go ahead and play that.
Since of this video and your message in it, what specific orders do you believe President Trump made that you consider unlawful?
Well, so this is looking forward, but let me give you a pass, an outline of things that he has said. In 2016, he said that the U.S. military will follow his illegal orders. He said something on a debate stage and was reminded that would be illegal. And he said the military will not refuse his orders, regardless of whether they're legal or not. He also talked about shooting protesters in the legs. How un-American, how unconstitutional is that? Fortunately, there was a Secretary of Defense that has stopped this. He's also talked about sending troops into U.S. cities to use those cities and people for training. I mean, this is, we're concerned because of this president with this Secretary of Defense that we could have a significant problem. So this was a simple message, follow the law, and it was looking forward.
Well, and
Simple message, follow the law. Well, he didn't actually give any examples there. Did you hear any examples?
No, the problem that he's created there, and look, he knows better. He understands the Universal Code of Military Justice. He understands USC 182397. You cannot undermine, and I'm just going to paraphrase, but you can't undermine the authority of the commander-in-chief or the chain of command. And if you do that and entice people to question or whatever, you created this chaos. And what's terrible about this is just within, you know, a few days of that video being released, you get these two National Guard members shot, unarmed. That confuses me. Two unarmed members of the National Guard get shot. One is dead, died in her father's arms, a young woman from West Virginia. The other man from West Virginia, who's 24, has a lot more experience. She was pretty young. She was 20. And he's fighting for his life. So, I mean, there's nothing good that comes from that. But immediately following those, and I'm just going to call them, they're reckless remarks from Mark Kelly and Alyssa Slotkin from where I stand.
Well, it
just
creates this.
Because it's suggesting.
Yeah, it creates the environment. And we know this because they've been doing this since Trump was first elected, which is he's not honest. He's a fascist. You shouldn't be listening to anything that he's doing. He's bad for our country. He's ruining our country. You go on and on and on and on the examples that we can give of the folks on the left who are creating this alternate universe that isn't true. It's like, well, let's believe. And you know what the weird thing is, Steve? Why is it that so many people will believe a lie so much faster than they believe the truth? You have to, like, give them a mountain of evidence to say, here's the truth. But if they hear a soundbite or they'll read a headline and that is gospel, to me, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, as you know, I use AI for one thing more than anything else. I'll see something pop up, and I just go to AI and say, is this true? I just fact check it immediately. And 9 times out of 10, no, that's false. It's not right. That was never said. And I get as much from that from the right as I do the left. They're all guilty.
Yeah. Well, we have to leave it right there for now, Steve. We will be right back after this break.
With a look at sports, I'm Brock Palmbush. 11 games in the NFL yesterday. AFC winners included Buffalo, Houston, and the LA Chargers. NFC winners included Carolina, Tampa Bay, and Seattle. Denver beat Washington in the Sunday night game 27-26 in overtime. Lots of college football coaching news. Lane Kiffin resigned at Ole Miss to take over the vacant job at LSU. Assistant Pete Golding will take over at Ole Miss. Florida hired Tulane coach John Sumrall as their new head coach. Arkansas hired Memphis's Ryan Silverfield as their new head man. Michigan State fired second-year head coach Jonathan Smith, and multiple media outlets say that Kentucky is going to fire their head coach Mark Stoops as soon as today. Eight games in the NBA last night. Winners included New York, Boston, Minnesota, and Oklahoma City. The Thunder's 123-115 win over Portland was their 12th straight win. They are 20-1 on the season. That's a look at sports. Back to you, Steve.
Hey, Brock, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Ivy.
You know, it's interesting. Tell me about this Michigan State coach. He was fired. What is it with, you know, coaches that are always being paid to leave? It seems now like, the last three coaches with MSU or something like that?
Yeah, one of them is still up for debate with Mel Tucker. But, okay. Jonathan Smith signed a seven-year deal worth more than $50 million. Well, he coached two of those years. And the buyout stipulated that I think it was 80 or 90% of his remaining money would have to be paid out. It was like 80 or 90% guaranteed. So it turns out that the buyout for the last 5 years of his deal is in excess of $30 million. Like
unbelievable.
Or $33 million.
How does the university, Steve, are you still there?
I'm still there. It's remarkable to me. I can win 9 football games and take a $33 million
right?
payout.
I'm like, are we?
Good Lord.
We're in the wrong business. We can, you know, get paid to lose and then not, you know, keep up our contract and still get paid. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to...
Anyhow, I'm pulling up to the Pentagon now.
Great.
So I'm going to have to say, have a great day. I'm sitting outside the Pentagon, me and the driver, hoping that we make it in safely, which we will, of course.
Of course.
Greatly appreciate it, Ivy. Well done. Brock, well done. Everybody, nice work. Got a couple of gremlins this morning, but we figured it out. And I'll talk to you guys in the morning.
Thank you. Well, we'll talk to you tomorrow.